May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates and redeems and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from that Gospel, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And a voice came from heaven, saying, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Tell me this. Have you ever heard a voice coming from heaven like that? Have you ever heard God speaking directly to you, like in that Gospel reading? My guess is that most of us, good Anglicans that we are, most of us are a little reticent about such things, aren't we? My guess is that while we do have our own personal spiritual experiences, experiences of God, experiences of the divine, we don't go around talking about those experiences all that much, do we? Besides, many of us, I think, are acutely aware of the terrible damage that has been done and is still being done by some of those who claim to have a hotline, who claim to have a direct phone line to God. And so, as I say, we're a bit reticent about these matters. We're a bit wary, I think, of claiming too much for our own experiences. A bit wary of talking publicly about what we might consider to be essentially personal, private matters. And a bit wary, too, let's be honest, frankly, of getting it wrong. Getting it wrong. Afraid that we might simply project our own needs and opinions onto God. After all, it wouldn't be the first time that something like that has happened, eh? And yet, despite those genuine reservations, I think it is so important that we talk about these things. I think it's really important that, A, we try to find the words, try to find the language to speak about our experiences of the more in life, the more in life. A, and B, that we try to be discerning, that we try to be discerning, that we try to separate somehow genuine religious experience from self-serving projection. Yeah. And today's gospel, the account of the baptism of the Lord, can help us, I believe, with both of those tasks. Let's look again at the details. It's Luke chapter 3. And Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. But before he begins his public ministry, he heads out to the River Jordan. He heads out to where his rather unconventional and fiery cousin, John, is baptizing, busy baptizing lots of people. And Jesus joins the queue for baptism, just like everyone else. And when his turn comes, Jesus heads down into the water, like everyone else, and is baptized. But then something extraordinary happens. Just as Jesus is praying, the heavens are opened, and the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove, and a voice says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I'm well pleased." Wow. How about that for a spiritual experience? Huh? Pretty spectacular. And imagine for a moment, if you were the next person in line after Jesus, what would you be thinking? Out of some of what he had. But seriously, there are at least two important lessons in this reading. The first lesson relates to those words spoken by the voice from heaven. "You are my Son, the Beloved." Those words, it seems to me, provide the template, the pattern for genuine religious experiences, a sense of belovedness. Let me give you two examples of what I mean. Both of my examples are from poets. Maybe that's not all that surprising, because poets are perhaps uniquely skilled at finding the words, yeah, finding the right words to describe these experiences which leave so many of the rest of us speechless. So my first example is from the great Irish poet, a little biased perhaps, the great Irish poet W.B. Yeats. And it's some lines from his poem Vacillation. Listen to this. Yeats writes, "My 50th year had come and gone. I sat, a solitary man, in a crowded London shop, an open book, an empty cup, on the marble table top. While on the shop and street I gazed, my body of a sudden blazed, and 20 minutes, more or less, it seemed so great my happiness, that I was blessed and could bless. I was blessed and could bless." Beautiful, isn't it? Now Yeats, of course, let's say, Yeats wasn't an orthodox believer by any stretch of the imagination. But here I think we get the essence of a true experience of God. It's first and foremost a sense of blessedness, an overwhelming sense of being loved and being beloved. And secondly, and crucially, that experience is not individualistic. No, that experience is not for the person's own benefit alone. That experience, it spills over. It overflows. It overflows in love and concern for everyone else. What was that lovely line again? "And 20 minutes, more or less, it seemed so great my happiness that I was blessed and could bless." Overflowing love and concern for others. My other brief example comes from another poet, this time W.H. Auden. W.H. Auden. Now, a bit like Yeats, Auden was something of an unconventional believer, but later in life he came back to church, was confirmed later in life, and that coming back to church seems to have been prompted by an experience he had in 1933. It happened one summer's evening at the school where Auden was teaching. He was sitting on the lawn after dinner, chatting with some of the other teachers. He points out, by the way, that nobody had been drinking, just in case. It was just an ordinary evening, sitting chatting with friends, when something extraordinary happens. This is how he describes it. "I felt myself invaded by a power which, though I consented to it, was irresistible, and certainly not mine. For the first time in my life, I knew exactly, because thanks to the power I was doing it, what it means to love one's neighbor as oneself. My personal feelings towards them were unchanged. They were still colleagues, not intimate friends, but I felt their existence as themselves to be of infinite value. And I rejoiced in it. Again, we see the same pattern. Auden is invaded, as he puts it, by a power beyond himself, a power which speaks of love and belovedness. But it's a belovedness not for himself alone, but for those around him too. He says, "I felt their existence as themselves to be of infinite value, and rejoiced in it." So that's the first lesson from today's gospel. True experiences of the divine are never simply about me, myself, and I. No, true experiences of God are like Jesus' experience at his baptism, and of course his subsequent ministry, experiences of being beloved sons and daughters, and this is an overflowing belovedness which spills out in care for other people. But there's a second lesson to be learned from the baptism of Jesus, and it's this. Look where it happened. It happened in a crowded river. And not just any old crowded river, but a crowded river that was full, Luke tells us earlier, this river was full of hated tax collectors, despised soldiers, all sorts of broken people looking for a second chance. And it's in the middle of that motley crew that Jesus takes his place in line. And it's surrounded by that mass of humanity that Jesus hears his call. And that's very significant, because it doesn't usually happen like that in the Bible. Have you noticed? More usually in the Bible, people tend to have experiences of God in holy places, like up on the top of a mountain, very holy place, or in the temple, very holy place, or in the middle of a cloud, yeah, very holy place, or at the very least, in a place that is peaceful and quiet, where you can hear the still, small voice of calm. Yeah? But that wasn't the case here. No, for Jesus, it was a down-to-earth experience, a down-to-earth experience as he stood waist-deep in a muddy river. A crowded experience with people pushing and shoving, no doubt, and elbowing their way to the front. A noisy experience with shouts and calls, and not much time for quiet reflection. And again, that links back, doesn't it, with the two examples of Yeats and Auden. Neither of them had their experience of God in an overtly holy place. No, for Yeats, it was in the middle of a bustling city, London, surrounded by crowds of shoppers. And for Auden, it was spending time with a group of friends, outdoors, on a summer's evening. In other words, their spiritual experiences weren't about withdrawing from life, cutting themselves off from life and other people, but they were finding themselves more alive alongside other people, experiencing the extraordinary in the ordinary, about connecting with the God who is greater than all of us, but also present in each one of us. So, after all of that, the question is this: what about us? What about us? As we begin this new year of 2019, well, my prayer for all of us this morning is this: may this be the year when you hear that voice beyond, which is also the voice within you. May this be the year when you know, yes, I am beloved. Yes, I am a beloved son. Yes, I am a beloved daughter of God, and no thing or no one can take that away. And may this be the year when your body blazes with the realization that, yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. And I can bless. I can bless. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.